Today we examine a phenomenon that feels uncanny, yet sits at the center of design and foresight in 2025. Hallucinations, not a metaphor. A set of events that recur across lives and systems. People report the presence of those they have lost. Faces emerge in clouds and stains. Voices arrive at the edge of sleep. At the same time, machines produce their own sightings. Fluent answers without sources. Images and documents crafted to persuade. The scale has changed. In 2024, attempted deepfakes were recorded at a relentless pace. Digital document forgeries rose by more than 200%. The boundary between imagination and evidence has thinned, and with it, the public's ability to decide what is trustworthy. Our episode today treats hallucinations as design variables. Human hallucinations tend to preserve meaning when perception is uncertain. Machine hallucinations tend to preserve coherence when data are missing. The two are not the same and they do not fail in the same way. If we can tell them apart and if we design for verification from the start, we can keep imagination working while holding the line on proof. That is the task ahead. Policy is not standing still. In Europe, obligations for general purpose AI begin to apply in August 2025. The schedule has not slipped. In parallel, provenance is moving from pilot to infrastructure. At the Content Authenticity Summit in June, partners moved C2PA content credentials from concept to deployment, including an official trust list and a path to conformance. Treat this as a design brief. Separate useful imagination from fabrication, especially with AI in the loop. Pair cultural insight with verifiable evidence. Build systems that disclose sources, timelines, and custody of media. Do that, and future's work earns trust rather than asks for it. Start with humans and the moments when perception reaches beyond what is present. In 2025, the mental health backdrop matters. Many surveys continue to report elevated anxiety, persistent loneliness, and disrupted sleep. Grief has been prolonged for many families, and stress loads remain high. In that climate, liminal states become more visible and more talked about. Consider sleep paralysis. Many wake to a silent room, yet sense a presence nearby. Population studies put lifetime prevalence near 7 to 8%. Broader community surveys suggest that 6 to 15% of people will report at least one hallucination in their lives, often without any illness in the picture. These episodes cluster when sleep is irregular, when stress runs high, or when sensory input is thin. This is a basic property of perception. When signals are weak and context is uncertain, the brain completes the scene rather than leave a blank. Read that completion not as a defect, but as a clue to how meaning is maintained when the world goes quiet, especially in a year when sleep, stress, and isolation are shaping daily experience. Grief is not confined to funerals. In this present moment, many people live with losses that unfold in slow motion. The psychological term is anticipatory grief. It is the strain of mourning a person or a role before it is gone. A spouse caring for a partner with dementia. An adult child watching a parent decline. Families bracing for a prognosis that has not yet arrived. The feeling is real even while the person is still here. There is a related pattern called ambiguous loss. The body is present, but the person feels absent, or the person is absent, but the bond refuses to end. Both conditions are common in a year marked by caregiver burden, economic precarity, and climate stress. Work weeks stretch. Sleep is irregular. News cycles rehearse disaster. Under that pressure, it is easy to feel both hypervigilant and unmoored. These states shape perception. People sense presences after a hard night. They mishear voices in the next room. They hold conversations in their heads with someone who cannot answer back. None of this is evidence of pathology on its own. It is a way the mind keeps meaning intact while it absorbs change. Designing with that reality in view means lighter cognitive loads, clearer cues, and spaces that acknowledge continuing bonds without treating them as defects. By contrast, machines do not grieve or keep vigil. They do not perceive. Large language models predict. Given a string of text, they estimate the most likely next token from their training. The result is fluent continuity, not truth. Where humans complete the picture to preserve bonds, models complete the sentence to preserve flow. When a prompt is thin or a domain has shifted, the system supplies detail to keep going. There is no intent in the human sense. It is statistical completion, not evidence. Treat these outputs as proposals until they are tied to sources. Without grounding, plausibility is style, not proof. Industry has turned to retrieval augmented generation to tether output to a live corpus and surface citations. It helps. It does not settle the issue. Thin or biased retrieval, stale sources prompt drift, and overconfident synthesis keep hallucinations in play. Some theory suggests a residual rate of fabrication is inherent. The practical line is simple. Machines work to preserve coherence, not meaning. Treat their ghosts differently from ours. If you have been reading every output as equally reliable, change posture. Consider claims provisional until their evidence is visible. Stay with pattern detection. Our brains seek structure and often overreach. Illusory correlation is the classic case. Under pressure, people over-associate rare signs with rare outcomes. The effect is durable, first described by Chapman and Chapman, and still visible in modern work. Pareidolia shows up in daily life. Faces in clouds, voices in the hiss of a speaker. In the lab, the mechanism is clear. Raise expectations and the decision threshold drops. Present noise and suggest a target, and reports of that target rise. It is measurable. Expectation shifts the criterion more than the signal. Liminal states and moments of stress create fertile ground for phantom patterns. The design implication is clear. Put a team under time pressure and load them with prior information, and you increase the likelihood of false positives. The tendency is general. Awareness is the first control. Let's shift focus. If you are building the future, you need a language for the kind of ghost you are facing. We often lump errors together. Sorting them helps. Three frames are useful: mirage, confabulation, and fabrication. Mirage names the errors that arise from conditions. Think of heat shimmer that makes a road appear wet. In AI, this points to retrieval quality, source freshness, and domain drift. Start by fixing the environment rather than blaming the user or the model. Make the state visible to users, an input banner that lists key inputs and their recency, and a compact meter for source diversity and domain match. Use the mirage frame to diagnose and tune conditions, not to excuse poor output. Confabulation is creative gap-filling. Humans do it, and models do it. It is valuable for ideation and scenario work. Make it explicit. Declare a story mode, time-box the session, watermark outputs, and require an evidence pass before anything leaves the lab. Fabrication is intentional invention with consequences. It covers public claims, safety, critical contexts, and anything with legal stakes. Here the requirements are strict: provenance by default, signed or verifiable media where possible, a clear who said what panel that separates citations, model synthesis, and human edits, visible reliability indicators, and an escalation path when something looks unstable. Design work depends on knowing the active frame and making it visible. Begin speculative cycles in confabulation. As you troubleshoot, move to mirage. Before anything leaves the building, meet fabrication standards and publish with provenance. Different countries weight these moves differently, shaped by local norms and expectations. Treat those differences as design constraints, not afterthoughts. Cultural context shifts expectations for trust verification, and error. In the United States, enthusiasm for new tools sits alongside high concern about misinformation. The baseline is clear. Show citations. Let users tune grounding and safety settings. Make confidence signals visible and simple. Transparency is expected at the point of use. It is less about formal compliance and more about direct control in the interface. In Sweden and across the EU, routines of compliance, disclosure, and documentation are built in. The AI Act deadlines reinforce that habit. Roll out traceability that is smooth and low friction. Provenance should travel with the content. Users should not have to hunt for it. In Mexico, there is no comprehensive AI law yet, and designers often work through relational trust and community guardianship. Build verification that is legible in local networks. Make it easy to show how a claim was checked and by whom. Pair clear disclosure with mechanisms that respect community mediators. In China, policy places strong weight on labeling, responsibility, and platform liability. Creative experimentation tends to stay in controlled sandboxes. Public surfaces reflect what regulators and platforms are prepared to stand behind, and errors are handled internally. Design for clarity about accountability and for restraint in public-facing features. Treat countries as comparators rather than templates. Publish your assumptions and update them as evidence changes. A brief caveat. Generalizations are scaffolds, not verdicts. Treat country profiles as starting hypotheses about expectations, not fixed truths. As a design or foresight team, check your assumptions against new evidence, update them on a regular cadence, and retire them when they stop fitting the facts. Map the spectrum. At one end sits the residual zone, where institutions treat hallucinations as taboo or defect. The posture is containment and minimization. Do not disrupt. In the dominant zone, mainstream products acknowledge uncertainty without breaking usability. Disclaimers appear where they help. Confidence displays are calibrated, not theatrical. Citations and provenance badges travel with claims. The contract is clear, the system remains useful, and the user can see where it might wobble. Now the middle ground, emergence. Labs, studios, and classrooms use controlled hallucinations to break frames and surface alternatives. The work is declared as experiment, bounded by rules and supervised. The point is to spark new thinking without crossing into deception. At the disruptive end, society renegotiates what counts as proof. Public registries for synthetic content appear. Independent audits probe model behavior. Citizen panels review contentious outputs. Chain of custody norms spread from media into everyday services. Put this on a culture map for each country and keep it current. Mark what is residual, what is dominant, what is emerging, and what is disruptive. Update on a regular cadence with evidence from policy moves, market signals, and user research. That turns error, creativity, and disruption into something you can design for rather than react to. Foresight depends on pattern recognition. Spot a signal early, and you can catch a trend before it breaks. Pair that with systems thinking, and you gain small islands of predictability inside the noise. Yet the directive to find patterns increases the risk of seeing what is not there. Prior experience lowers the threshold for detection. Sometimes the more you know, the faster you jump to the wrong conclusion. This is why second readers, red teams, and preset evidence gates matter. Do not let the loudest theory set the course. Remember that historical baselines can fail under large shocks in climate, technology, or finance. In a non-stationary world, old rules do not hold by default. The stronger practice blends quant and qual. Use retrievals and probability where facts exist. Pair them with ethnography, stakeholder maps, and a habit of surfacing contradictions rather than smoothing them away. It is messier, but it keeps you from blinding yourself. Move from theory to practice. Ground truth by design. When facts exist, bind outputs to them and show citations where users can see them. When facts are contested, surface competing sources side by side and let people inspect the chain of custody. Treat provenance as a native feature, not an add-on. The momentum is real. Policy timelines are converging, and the authenticity community is moving from pilots to deployment. Calibrate trust. Make uncertainty visible. Ask for confirmation before consequential actions. Offer a clear path to human review. Run red team drills that inject rumors, impersonations, and ambiguous evidence, and observe how the system and the team respond. Measure overtrust and underuse, not only compliance. Tune both interface and policy based on what the data show. And make learning stick. Treat every scenario, whether plausible or wild, as a hypothesis and test it. Update your team's priors and keep a running log of how culture, language, or context skew judgment. Use SATs, structured analytic techniques, to keep the larger picture visible and testable. Evidence is not only numbers, it is also the discipline of admitting when expectations shaped what you saw. Bring it full circle. It is easy to romanticize hallucination or to turn every uncertainty into a defect. The reality sits between. Human and machine ghosts reveal how stories hold together or slip when evidence thins. People conjure meaning to preserve coherence. Machines complete patterns to preserve fluency. The processes differ, but both shape how we build and how we trust what we build. The task is to keep imagination alive while keeping proof in view. The challenge for anyone designing futures in a synthetic age is to keep creativity alive while insisting on evidence. Make provenance the default. State uncertainty in plain terms that guide rather than paralyze. Build scenarios that teach, not just entertain. If we understand when people see ghosts and where machines go off script, we move toward a smarter evidence culture, and perhaps tomorrow becomes a little less haunted.